Good morning. My name is Lee Archer. I'm a grad student in the Department of Horticulture and Agronomy at UC Davis, and I'm going to present the results of sort of a small subsect of a larger project we had in soil health in olives. And so this is a sort of smaller experiment looking at the effect on Verticillium dahliae. So since olive production is fairly regional, I'm going to try to set the stage a little bit and spend a few minutes just giving a little bit of history. So production in California has historically been table olives. However, the table olive industry can't accept bruised fruits, which come from typical mechanical harvesting practices. So now the high production costs of hand labor, or the harvesting costs of hand labor, have essentially been unsustainable for the California table olive industry. This means that the sort of necessity to mechanize their systems, along with a increase in demand for high quality olive oil, sort of seen globally and nationally, it has forced the California industry into using new tighter spaced orchard designs with more like a higher tree density. And in order to accommodate this, mills have had to keep pace and process more, essentially. The olive mills have had to process more. So almost all mills across the world have now mechanized milling processes almost exclusively. But there are still differences in the efficiencies between different types of milling techniques. Europe, or some countries in Europe, still rely on a three-phase centrifugation process, which creates a significant amount of olive mill waste water. This is not as much of a concern in California, but this is a pretty strong industrial effluent in Spain and Italy where they're having to deal with this. So California growers use a two-phase centrifugation system, which creates pumice as opposed to wastewater, which you can see here. It's sort of semi-wet, semi-solid. It contains lignins, tannins, phenolics, long-chain fatty acids, and is sort of known to be toxic to some things. So dealing with this byproduct in a responsible manner has become more costly as mills continue to deal with a increase in the rate of pumice that's being produced per mill. So our grower cooperator, the California Olive Ranch, was interested in examining sort of the range of benefits or impacts that could come from using and applying either raw or composted pumice into their fields. So to start with, we wanted to see what we were dealing with in terms of phytotoxicity. CORE, the California Olive Ranch, supplied us with three different amendments. They're interested in setting up their own on-site composting facility. And since pumice is fairly high moisture, it needs to be mixed with other ingredients in order to compost properly. So they provide us with two different types of compost, just two different types based on what they were mixed with, almond hulls versus orchard prunings. And then the raw pumice. So we looked at the phytotoxicity of these three products as solutions in three different concentrations. And what we found was fairly clear that the pumice is quite phytotoxic. The y-axis, the top graph here, the y-axis are the nine different treatments that we looked at, with the control treatment at the very bottom. And then the x-axis is the germination index expressed as a percent. This is relative root growth and relative germination compared to the control. The red line indicates an 80% phytotoxic. This is like the general accepted standard for phytotoxic free is 80%. So the lower graph is the ratio, the root-to-shoot elongation in centimeters of growth on the y-axis of the two different composts. And there were no significant differences between the two different mixes. But we can see that the pumice definitely was a phytotoxic compound. So switching gears a little bit, so another problem in olives, besides dealing responsibly with their waste products, is Verticillium wilt. This is a vascular disease caused by the soil fungal pathogen Verticillium dahliae. It survives as microsclerotia in the soil, so this allows it to survive for like 10 or more years. There's a large number of both crop and non-crop plants that can act as hosts for Verticillium, including tomato and cotton, which are planted extensively across California. It is, Verticillium wilt in general is a very pressing issue in Spain for olive growers. And it's less of an active issue in California, but there are definitely expansion is limited in certain parts of the state due to the presence of verticillium in the soil. So preliminary research from Spain and Italy provided us with the idea that perhaps olive pomace may suppress verticillium in the soil. So doing a sort of small in vitro analysis, we applied these same solutions of different concentrations of the pumice and the compost to active growing verticillium dahliae, just in plates. And we found that both amendments at both concentrations were able to suppress growth, so both the pumice and the raw, the compost and the raw pumice. So the above image just shows from left to right the two pumice treatments and then the two compost treatments compared to the control. We're looking at the white, fluffy-ish hyphal growth. So both amendments suppress growth. And then the lower graph shows that the millimeters of growth on the y-axis and then the solutions are on the x-axis. There was no significant differences between the concentrations of the two different solutions, but the pumice was significantly lower than the compost, which was significantly lower than the control of sterile DI water. So this trial was all part of a sort of larger soil health trial. And before making recommendations to growers, it was critical to understand the impact that pumice or the compost would have on young olives. So we set up a deficit irrigation trial in the greenhouse, looking at these three different amendments at a rate of 8 tons per acre. There were five different treatments, and we crossed it with a deficit irrigation, so either plants received either 100% or 50% of their ET. So you can see the image on the bottom just shows that we were really trying to stress them out with our 50% ET, and it was working. So not all of the results from this trial are presented here, but just some. In general, we didn't see any negative impact of the pumice on young olive tree growth. This here is an image. The image on the right is a graph showing the total leaf area compared between the 10 treatments. So on the left side of the graph are the deficit treatments, and then on the right side are the standard irrigation treatments. And this is just showing that none of the treatments were significantly different than each other, though the pumice had a mean that was higher than the rest. It's not significant. And other measures of tree growth, and we obviously don't have yield or anything, but did not show that the pumice was going to decrease tree size or impact tree growth yet. It was only a 20-week experiment. So also in the greenhouse, we did a test for the biocontrol of verticillium wilt using this pumice. So the pots, these small pots, were given either 0, 5, or 20% of a cornmeal sand inoculum to represent either no light or heavy verticillium pressure. And then the pumice was applied at 8 tons per acre to the pots. And what we found, so we did a soil assay after 6 weeks. 6 weeks after inoculation, and then we ranked the plates based on a 0 to 4 ranking, where 0 was no verticillium growth, 1 to 4 is increments of 25%. So the image on the top shows just what one of these plates would look like in general. So, and then the bottom image, or the bottom graph, shows the visual differences in colonization based on our ranking. The CFU, we were unable to calculate differences in the CFUs between the two treatments. However, our visual ranking suggests that pumice was suppressing growth. So the bottom image, we've got the control, then the control with the low level of inoculum to represent low verticillium pressure, the pumice with low level, and then the control with a high level of inoculum and the pumice with high level, the dotted line indicating standard error. So this was exciting for us. So just to summarize some of our more important, or what we thought were important findings, the top image shows that there was clear phytotoxicity of the pumice, even at a 10% dilution. It was evident across all of our reps. And then the bottom image shows that there were visual differences in colonization between the pumice and the control. In our deficit irrigation trial, it showed that pumice may not impact growth in young olives, which we theoretically would think are more susceptible to the compounds in the pumice that are phytotoxic. So what does this mean? So there is something of a challenge in applying the pumice across an orchard. It is high moisture, it's semi-solid, semi-wet. It doesn't easily go through a compost spreader. And so one way that we have tried to deal with this is by either drying it out for a while, which would extend the amount of time you need to sort of keep it sitting around, or applying water and making it sort of a liquid and then applying it as a manure spreader. So hopefully we can try both of these things out. Additionally, we'd like to quantify the CFUs to sort of really express the effectiveness of suppression. So that would be another sort of take the same soil assay trial we did and expand that sort of to get some more statistical strength out of that study. And then finally, it would be because of this phytotoxicity, we thought it would be interesting to look at using pumice as an herbicide for integrated weed management, specifically in organic systems, which could, could be useful maybe in a mixed cropping system, specifically for smaller scale growers. So doing some sort of weed control trial we thought would be interesting. So with that, I would like to thank these people, and then I'm sure I talked really fast, so I probably have plenty of time for questions. Yes. So we're not. So the question is, what compounds in the pumice are potentially either phytotoxic or fungicidal? We're not entirely sure. It seems as though, so we've done we did some soil incubations and that sort of thing, and the nematodes seem to really love pumice, the good nematodes, so there's definitely something biological in there, but I believe some researchers have used sterilized pumice and still found that it was fairly phytotoxic, so it's likely there are also chemicals in there, but that is something we do not know for sure. We think it's probably a combination of biological and chemical things. We use cress, which is sort of a easy to germinate and responsive, or it responds to phytotoxicity well. Was sort of the baseline. Yeah, we measured root biomass from our greenhouse trial, and we didn't see any significant differences. I think it would be interesting to look at the effect on non-woody species, specifically like tomatoes or cotton, and see if there are root differences. But we expect that since olives have sort of grown in places where there's lots of residual olive lying on the ground, that they may be able to deal with the pumice, which is essentially naturally leaching into their systems.
Okay. Was the potted study, was the pumice applied on top of the pots, or was it incorporated? Because I see us having young cell systems, so we're going to kind of have to depend on leachate to impact the roots.
Yeah, so the question is, was it applied sort of as a surface application, or was it incorporated? In the pots, we incorporated it. It was pretty thoroughly mixed, though I do know a grower who's using it spread just with a manure spreader and just sort of flooding almost his field with it. And he has found just anecdotally that there's significant weed suppression with that.
Do you think that the mechanism affects the actual seed germination? Like, if, for example, with verticillium, your problem in California with strawberries, where you're putting actually bare roots, do you think there will be a difference between actually seed germination and a plant that is already rooted and can be transplanted?
Yeah, I think that would be something that we would want to look at, because it didn't have an impact on the olives, which we transplanted, and so potentially it is more of a germination impact than actual established roots. So we don't know if, oh, the question was about whether if it was whether the impact is related to seed germination or, you know, I forgot the question already, but I'm just not going to repeat it. Anyways, we're not positive, but I believe established roots are probably have a better fighting chance, it seems like. We good?